Okay, I'm Heber. We're going to talk today about the five etzos that I. There are some more than this, but the five main etzos of what, how to get your fruits and vegetables in the Shemitah year. I said this week that I would discuss these.
We said these concepts.
What?
I'm at the computer. What we're doing today?
Today we're doing the. What can you do in a Shemitah year so that the Yishuv does not crumble?
Right. Okay. Right.
So this was not a question from pretty much from the time of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, or maybe from the time of Hadrian and persecutions, or until the mid to late 19th century. So when there was a Yishuv that could possibly be starved out, they started to ask questions. So Rambanim in Europe, some Rambanim came forth with the idea of selling the land to someone who is not an idolater, because selling the land of Israel to an idolater violates the Torah's law of lo sechonim. Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah has a number of pshatim to that. The pshat, the simple pshat is, "Botitein lahem machane chaniya b'karka." Don't, you know? There's all kinds of other drushes, indeed, and but the simple pshat is, "Lo tichonein" means don't give them a chance to make a machane in your country. What's the reason for that? Because they're not going to keep the sanctity of the land. They're not going to give trumas and maisers. Anytime you sell land to a Gentile, the kedusha of the land is diminished. So, as such, if selling the land, the spirit of the law is selling the land to a Gentile is going to actually help and assist in getting more work in the land and more Jews to come to Israel and more success in the ultimate kedusha of the land, then this is a win-win, right? A, it's not a Jew working the land, or worse, or better, I should say, it's not a Jewish land that is being worked. Others vehemently oppose this. One is an opinion in the Talmud: Ein koach b'deakum lafkia midei trumas ha'maisos. Goyim don't have the power, even if they own the land. The land is still the land. If a goy owns the pig, it means its unkosher status changes. But what difference does it make whether a Jew owns the land or a goy owns the land? Right. Two is bizman hazeh, the Gemara agrees that Shemitah is midrabanan. All kinds of kulos as a result. Right, Shemitah's Ksofim is Drabanan because Shemitah's Karka is Drabanan because there's no Yovel. So in an attempt to help the Yishuv in Israel make its way through an Issur Drabanan, we're going to violate an Issur Doraisa, selling land to Gentiles. So the tour, there's the Machon Yerushalayim tour that's out now.
Yeah.
So this is not, I didn't find this in the Torah, because this new Machon Yerushalayim, in fact, when it first came out some years ago, 8-10 years ago, this was the topic they all quoted to justify investing money in supporting their work, which is what? Is that the Bach has a girsa in the Torah, right, that differentiates between selling the land of Israel to an idolater or to just a Gentile. Now, when a Muslim is not an idolater, but he's still a Gentile,
yeah.
It doesn't matter whether they worship idols or not. A Muslim is not going to keep the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. He's no interest in doing it. He's not going to do it. Right? So the Machon Yerushalayim has an updated or a better version of the Bach, where the word in the Bach was not Akum, it was Goyim. In other words, it's just, you can't sell the land to any Gentile, not just some, a Gentile who's not an Akum. Not all Goyim are Akum.
That likely they would have used claims of Akum. I thought Akum was like the standard.
Yeah, no, you find censored. The Goyim thought that Goyim was a pejorative.
We still do.
Christians preferred Akum. Yeah, because they
knew that. Yeah,
an Akum is not.
Oh,
a they knew, especially the Ashkenazic postkin that said that Christians aren't Akum. So Akum meaning Ode Kochavim. They felt Goyim does appear to be a pejorative, but they felt that okay, when they say Akum, they don't mean us because we're not Akum.
Isn't the church that took out changed that?
Right, so I think that they felt this didn't help that there's a Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim, who actually says that the gematria of Hevel Harik is Yeshua and Muhammad.
Okay.
But the original pasuk is in Yeshayahu. I mean, so obviously it couldn't refer to Christianity.
Right.
It's a hardcore Abu Zara, you know, sticks and stones, but. All right, but that's a technicality. But here is the rub. All those poskim, Yitzchak Elchanan and the others that considered for the sake of this Yeshua, for the sake of Ruach Nefesh, for these people who are in Israel, that we can sell the land. But that's only because the Turks and the Ottoman Empire control the land now. They said, "B'mehar v'yameinu, when the time comes, but we will control the land." Then this is not nogei at all. It's not, you can only sell the land because the maisa, the land isn't in our hands anyway. But when Jews are responsible for telling who can come and go in Israel, and Jews are by a government land, you got to pay a Jewish government. So they all said that you should not use this. So the original crafters of the Heter Mechira, you understand, wouldn't want to use it even today. Okay, but nonetheless, there are plenty of poskim and the official rabbinate position is to allow that. I recall Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wrote that he relies on the Heter Mechira for fruits, but not for vegetables. And you understand the vegetables called Sfichim.
Oh, right.
Sfichim are very much machmir on. Because first of all, people try to make a haroma with Sfichim and say, well, I didn't plant that. That was just what fell from the, Sfichim needs Zuria. You know, for your tree to come out with more peaches this year, you don't need to do anything, but hopefully the tree gets as much rain as it needs, and maybe there's some fumigating you can do and certain other things that are not meant in the Torah that are only also upon. Okay, so that's the first data. The second data is Otzer Beis Din, where it's not your land. It's sort of like the Crucible. The Crucible transfers your ownership of the loan to a corporate entity, so to say, of something that represents the people, and I'm not collecting the loan, they are. So two, I'm not working for me, for my field, I'm not violating this law of the law of Chora, because those are based in owns this land. And guess what? They can hire all kinds of people with good pay to work the land. Right? So, in other words, the owner of this land becomes like a worker and he gets paid.
But what if you're in like a long-term lease, so you don't actually own the land anymore, after the landlord won't get rid of it?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a simple form to fill out the train of formality, transfer it to such a corporate entity. And then they hire people to work the field. And then it's you're not doing schor then. You're getting just paid. You're doing a job. You're getting paid.
Isn't like a lot of land in Israel?
This flies in the face of the spirit of the law. You are working the land. You are serious.
But can you transfer it if you don't own it? Can you transfer to the Butler Basin and give yourself on your own or the managers?
This has to be done before the Shmita year, you know, obviously. Yeah. So this,
right. But well, you're not. I mean,
although, see, if you sell chametz during Pesach, you, or if you give chametz to as a case of kiddushin to a woman,
right.
You're not married because you haven't given her anything.
Right.
It has no value. But if someone would violate Shemitah and sell Shemitah crops, so that money is transferred to the kiddushas or shvias is transferable, you know, like that numerous times. But if I would sell my land in the Shemitah year, and say it's not yours to sell, it's God's, it's everybody's. You're going to call every Jew and ask them if they're okay with you selling the land. Right? But if I did sell the land, that money is still, you know,
right,
but still mine. I can, you know.
But what if I'm a tenant? Even before Shemitah, I don't own the land. I'm a tenant. An actual landlord won't agree to participate. What can I do then?
Yeah, this is an issue when you see where you have, let's say, tenants in the same building, and some are from and some aren't,
right.
And some want to do gardening work and some want to, hey, it's not so simple. They'll do what they want. You know? It's so simple. We just have to do our part. As far as votes are based in, they're like everything, like all the other eights, there's some who are in favor, some are not. But this is seem to be a more firm people will go along with Otsa Beis Din rather than with
here. Does technically the Otsa Beis Din acquire title to them?
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, they amended the law. It's very law to allow registration.
That's a little mistake. Yeah. Okay, you have Chutz Laaretz, of course, you can import from Jordan, from Turkey, from other places. You have to be careful because the Gemara in Maseches Yerushalmi Shviyas talks about their surrounding lands having at least Midrabanan the same rules as the land of Israel itself. There's something called Peros Nochri. I didn't sell it to them, but Peros Nochri has the land in Israel for some time. There are Arab farmers in Hebron. Our Arab farm, but this is a very unsavory kind of solution. I should give all this business and buy thousands of pounds of lettuce for my yeshiva from a nearby Arab town. Okay, so that's one. So the last one I'd like to, there's also the Chazon Ish. We discussed this earlier. The Chazon Ish has some very creative pieces about. About that the Torah says, "Sodcha lo tizra," right? Don't sow your field. So then, if we can show that this is not a sodeh, but it's something else, right? So what I'd like to do is take a tangent on that note and talk about hydroponics because it's just such a fascinating Indian. Right, the main place on planet Earth for hydroponics was Gush Katif. It's really more than any place else. It was and then it just disappeared overnight, and the people who took it over just burnt it all to the ground. Rather than,
so running yeshiva here in 2000. So there's a fear that all these Christians are coming to the old city to commit mass suicide for the.
Two K.
There was like rumors it was going to happen. And yeah. So the Shiva took us down to Gush Katif. You know, they thought it was safer for American kids to be in Gush Katif than they thought being in Old City that time.
Right. So. Yeah. So the origin of hydroponics. It's very, very much a davar chadash. The Gemara doesn't know from it. Certainly not the way we have enhanced it to this day. So what we do is we search the Maimarei Chazal. We search Gemaras, Yerushalmi, Bavli to see if can we get any anything that is that smacks of the Indian of growing real fruits and vegetables in the water. And we found one. It was a Gemara in Zvochim, Daf Tzadik Dalet. I don't think it's in there. There's a Gemara in Zvochim, Daf Tzadik Dalet, that says that if you throw flax into water, you violate Shabbos. It's not a Mishnah, it's a memra of an Amora, Rabba Nabai's Rebbe. Rabba says, if you throw flax into water, you have violated Shabbos. So the Gemara itself, before Sholim, of course, weigh in, but the Gemara itself asks, what violation of Shabbos is there in throwing flax in the water? So the Gemara's first answer to that question is because it's Zorea.
Hmm.
You're helping the flax grow. There's an obvious kasha on that. If throwing flax in water is Zorea, why is this only true of flax? Surely there must be some other things. Is flax Dafka? Why did the rabbi say flax? To throw pishnon in water, you violate Shabbos. What about barley? What about wheat? What about grain?
We can have the stalks.
Yeah, even some of the hair, there's hair, it's like some of the leaves.
Okay.
Right? So, but also what the Gemara fails to tell us is a fundamental question you might want to know. If I say that if you throw flax into water, you violate Shabbos, what's the fundamental question the Gemara doesn't tell us?
Oh, the direct and remark.
What is it? I mean, we violate the Torah one of 39 ways. It's only if it doesn't fit into one of these 39, then it's asur midrabanan. Right? If it fits neatly into one of these 39, the Torah is violated. Right? Spending money is not a violation of the Torah. It's not any one of the 39 laws. Something could be zera, takana, banan, geder, muktzah, Miralakum, something, but okay, fine. But the Gemara says you violate Shabbos. Rabbah's not saying the drabanan. So which malacha is it? Right? So if it's Zorea, then you have to ask, how special is flax?
Mm-hmm.
So here is, I should maybe take the Gemara, but it was the Mahalach of the Gemara. The Gemara first thinks that it's Zorea. And then there's a debate in the Rishonim why the Gemara moves away from Zorea to say, it's not Zorea, it's Lush. Okay.
Hmm.
That's the way that the Radbaz seems to read it, but the Rambam does not seem to read it that way. I'll tell you why in a second. The Rambam just says, okay, it may be Zorea, but let's see what else it could be. In other words, the question the Gemara is pursuing is, if it's Zorea, so why did you just mention flax? Just say whatever grows when it's engulfed in water, if it grows from that point. Surely flax is not the only thing on planet Earth that grows when you put it in water.
Does the Gemara respond to that objection?
The Gemara does. The Gemara says, you're right, flax is treated specifically because when flax, the hairs, the fibers, land in water, the fibers secrete a mucus kind of secretion that bundles together, and then it becomes like lush, like a told of kneading. Told of kneading is not limited to gedula karka, right?
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that
I mean, you can't give them a sound.
No, but lush is that like when you mix mayonnaise with tuna fish.
Right.
You're supposed to do it with a shinui.
Yeah.
Because it could be lush or making you make oatmeal on Shabbos in a way that's not bishul, like a kushneini, kushlishi, and you put in the oatmeal with the shinui. Otherwise, the oatmeal, you know, bam, becomes like almost like kneading a little bit. Right?
But it's still not a karka related.
Right, there is a day in the Gemara in Nisha El Bakarka.
Yeah.
All right. So Pishton does come from the ground. And if you put it in water, it becomes like a mush and it could be given to like a type of gibul where it's the Gemara says it's a total flush. So the question that Rishonim are going to ask Does this second answer wipe out the first answer, or does it complement the first answer? Pashto says it wipes out the first answer. In other words, we weren't just curious which malacha is this. The Gemara's in the second parak and Shabbos do the same thing. This is Aser, and then the Gemara asks, yeah, okay, which malacha is it? And you can have a dispute, whether it's Shvita, Tzoveya, whatever it is. But here, it seems Mahalach, the Gemara seems to be saying that if it's Zoreya, then it wouldn't be limited to Pishto. Okay? But this one Lush, mixing something in water, is mamish unique to Pishto, and therefore that's why the Gemara mentioned that.
But if he's saying that just throwing the water and the secretion and it automatically traces, but you don't do anything.
So it's going to be very important because we already learned segregation and things like that in Hilchos Shemitah, right? And intention is an important thing in Hilchos Shabbos, and sometimes not as important in Hilchos Shemitah. But we'll see what he is. Because remember, also in Shabbos it's Meleches Machsheves and the Maisa of the Gavra.
Right.
In Shemitah it's not Lavdafka the Maisa of the Gavra, but the Maisa that ends up happening to the Karka. Right. It's something in the little lumbus, it's such a cute little thing, is that the Mishnah in the Sefer Shabbos lists the 39 malachos as ha-zoreya, ha-choresh, ha-kotzer, ha-borer, ha-mevashel.
The Rambam
lists it zriya, ktsira, as a function of the fact that he admits that the Tana of this Mishnah holds that malachos shen tzricha l'gufa is potter, like Rav Shimon. But I paskin Rabbi Ram says, like Rabbi Yehuda's, I'm going to list the malachos as the malacha. We discussed this some time back. But here's the rub. The Rambam unequivocally paskins in Perek Ches and Shabbos that it's usher to throw wheat, barley, grain, branches, and flax into water on Shabbos. It says it's the Raisa.
Okay. But only those things, or
but whatever grows.
Right.
He says soaking wheat and barley in Shabbos is Zoreya. He says so. Kesef Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah ask on the Gemara and the Zvachim. Notice it's not a Gemara in Shabbos; it's a Gemara in Zvachim. Yeah. But the Kesef Mishnah and say, what's the Rambam source? It says it's the source is the Gemara in Zvachim, where he believes that the second answer, that it's Lisha, does not mean to defy the first answer. It's just another answer. Which malacha is it? It could be Zoreya. It could be Lisha. Right?
Well,
but the Rambam has to say something the Gemara doesn't say. Rambam says that soaking, he inquired, and he said that soaking the seeds of anything that grows, whether it's barley or wheat, or it helps along the way to Zriya. He says that soaking, putting these things in water softens the seeds, and therefore it's a tolda of Zoreya. Anything that assists in the pre-Zriya process is called Choresh, a tolda of Choresh, and anything that helps along the Zriya itself is a tolda of Zriya.
And
the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way.
The Rambam actually didn't know the language of the Gemara. They should have said.
Yeah. You see, it wasn't. The Rambam does not make it abundantly clear. It's the commentaries that are there. Yes, the Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah. Right? And so this even engendered a Tshuvas HaRadbaz. Someone asked the Radbaz. I've seen this unusual Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. About throwing branches into water and throwing that you're not allowed to because it's so rare. He says, what's the source of this? So the Rabbaz discusses this and he says it's indeed the Gemara in Zvachim, but leaving these branches in the water or leaving the stalks in the water softens the seeds and makes it easier to. But this thing that's no longer connected to the ground is not, grow more.
Right.
So
because otherwise, like you could, and this you could put flowers, you know, like you flowers put in water. Right.
So we say that what it does, according to what it does, is that it softens the seeds that prepares it for Zeria. Okay? The Magen Avraham in this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Shin Lamed Vav, if I recall correctly, Magen Avraham says that the first, he holds that the first answer of the Gemara is rejected by the second answer, that it's flax dafka. Right? Otherwise, the Gemara should have mentioned barley and wheat. Okay? And that the Malacha is Lisha because it happens immediately. When you put flax in the water, 10 seconds, it's starting to mulch together. But when you put a barley stalk or wheat stalk, it takes maybe days for that to affect the Zeria process. Right? Now, okay, good Shabbos. When I put a peach pit in the ground 5 minutes before Shabbos is over, it's going to take more than days for that to make anything. And still it's awesome. Right? So,
otherwise you never meet them.
But this is part of the Leches Machsheves. Everyone can see what your intention is when you take a peach pit and you open up a piece of ground and you put it and you flatten it
right,
out.
Yeah.
But when someone just throws a grain into the water, his intention, it's a malachas machshavas difference. And this will show a difference between Shabbos and Shemitah. So that's the difference according to Magen Avraham. And but the Magen Avraham agrees, is that if someone puts the grain stalk into the water with the intention for it to remain there for 3 or 4 or 6 days so that the seeds become washed, like the Rav Baz says, and the seeds become more nogeir for Zeria, then yeah, that's Malachas Machsheves, that's called Zeria. But there is a qualitative difference between the flax and the grain, is that flax immediately kicks in its malacha, as opposed to the grain, which doesn't, and therefore Malachas Machsheves has to kick in with your intent. Okay, so then there's a Minchas Chinuch, Simen Lamed Beis. We touched upon this, but we didn't go through all the 39 malachas. The Minchas Chinuch has in the din of the Los Asays of Shabbos, he has a little like a page on each one of the 39 malachas. It's really a great treatise. There's a much, much more comprehensive work on that called Egli Tal. Maybe
right.
That. And have you seen it? You have that safer chair? You leave it? Egli Tal.
Yeah.
Test Lamed. It's Lamed Test Malachos.
Yeah.
It's a plan. Yeah. It's the same author as the Shagasari.
Yeah. So
the Minchas Chinuch says that he has it, like he coins a new term that's not found in the Gemara. He calls it Hatzmacha, Tzemach, which happens slowly. So it's sort of moving off of what we just said. So it's not similar to the Zriya of the Mishkan, to be sure, right? But he says only if you have that intention does that kick in.
Okay. But you think that's
derisive? Yeah. But what appears is that there are koiter and baz, it's a tolda of Zeria, whether it grows or not. It's a matter of your intention. Right? If I plant a peach pit in the ground right before Shabbos is over, and then someone five minutes after Shabbos is over takes the peach pit out, I still violated Shabbos. No, nothing was actually done. I still violated Shabbos. Same is true the other direction. If I put a loaf of bread in an oven and someone takes it, removes it from the oven before it gets crusty, so he saves me from a carbon chatos.
Oh, just a carbon chatos.
So remember, if I did it with the shogig, and daf dalet, the Gemara asks, but in some places, you know, redias apas, when the bread used to fill the whole oven. It was a chachmi, a sailor. So should I violate the shvus of Radias Apas to save the other guy from a Nisr Skila perhaps because he put it in the shvus? Amazing, maybe. So should I violate the Dravanas? That's an interesting discussion about that.
Okay, but the Magen Avraham says that it's only going to be if your intention is to soak it from the time.
Okay, and that the Gemara just Dafka mentioned flax because flax is asur miyad. With one of the 39 malachos that flax kicks in and happens immediately. If it's lush, that happens immediately. If it's zriya, that takes some time.
The Gemara talking about the problem. It ends
right. It's a short time, like tiny discussion, 2 months. Is it zoreya or is it lush?
Well, it's not even getting to the problem of the karka.
Right, so now we're going to start to see how this relates to Ajapanas. So the Minchas Chinuch seems to say you're only over if it actually grows. Because if it doesn't actually grow,
doesn't have career.
It's not.
That's an important point, though. It's not that it's putting in water, it has to be in preparation for.
Right, if it doesn't end up as a tzmacha, then
yeah.
It's not. Okay. So now let's look at a few other mesechtes to look at. We're going to see something in Orla, Kilayim, and in Shpias. Okay, so when this happens, it's beautiful learning because it shows that they sometimes the dichotomy with halacha is this way in Kilayim, but it's different in Shpias. Underlying point that's shared. So there's a Yerushalmi in the Gemara in the fourth parak in the Sechah Shpias that allows one to soak seeds in the Shemitah year so that the seeds will take better in the eighth year. What's the Svara? Not a Vodas Karka. These are seeds in my hand. I have these seeds, and if I soak them, they're going to take better. I'm not working the ground. Okay, so that's one thing. Right. The Tosefta and Kilayim, Perek Aleph, right, says something very, very, doesn't make it into the Yerushalmi Kilayim, but the Tosefta says that if you sow mixed seeds, sow a tomato seed and a barley seed together in an eggshell inside of an egg, you violate the Torah. Such a small little space, but you can violate in the tiny, probably wanted to give you the tiniest of spaces. Sechah Shabbos of Perek Amar Rikiva has all these cute cases of, you see the diagrams in Rashi and Tosfos, the checkerboards, and it looks like a chessboard, four corners. Okay. So then it says something that's very much nogea to our discussion today, which is, but if you grow the two seeds, just put two seeds together on top of a stone or in water, it doesn't violate the Torah. So it looks like that second case that sowing something in water is not sowing. Otherwise, it would be just as usher as in so what? So the Yerushalmi comes up with a proof text. It says, Sodcha lo tizra kilayim. Right? You might want to ask, how was the egg sodcha? This is simply not zriya. So maybe what's happening inside the egg is zriya, but it says in the egg it's aser, but outside on water it's not. Okay. And the Meforshim to this Yerushalmi say that it makes sense that the criteria for something being usur as zriya for kilayim should be the same for shemitah. No reason to say it's the same lashon, right? Okay, so the Rambam says psak like this Yerushalmi, Hilchos Shemitah Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, Halacha Vav. Okay, so. And then the Radbaz asks, why did the Rambam, who prohibits soaking seeds on Shabbos, as a told of Zriya, but he allows soaking seeds in the Shemitah year? Why is it Zriya for Shabbos, but not Zriya for Shemitah? That answer we should have.
Well, I assume there's no Easter Avtanah L'chol, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm not working the ground. But on Shabbos, there's a broad scope. That's the lumdus in all the malach, you know, the toldos. It's a great
on place. Shabbos, you have to rest. In Shemitah, the ground is resting.
Good, good. That's coming up. It's coming up. That's the next difference. Okay. But in Shilchos Shabbos, there's a very broad scope of what falls under the category of preparing to improve the land, to improve the growth of what's coming in the land. And even if it's very distant, it's soaking seeds, it's going to help Zerias. Okay, you're violating Shabbos.
So that's what you're doing.
Shabbos.
You're doing it.
Yeah, Lechem Machshavos. It picks it up. Okay. Right? And as Yossi just said, on Shabbos, the focus is on the Gavra. On Shemitah, the focus is on the land. So the Gavra is doing something to improve the growth process. And then Shemitah, it's not on the ground. There you have it. Okay. Finally, Rav Pesach Tzvi Frank, I have a Shas Chuvas in my office called Har Tzvi. So he was aware of hydroponics. Magen Avraham was not. Menachas Chinuch was not. And the Radba certainly was not. But Rav Pesach Tzvi Frank was 30s, 40s. He was aware of hydroponics. He was starting to be done. And he felt that it was aser. He felt that it's the final product that counts. It's true that water is not a sodeh, right? And he introduced another Yerushalmi into this mix. Okay. He said that the Minchas Chinuch, he thought that even the Minchas Chinuch today would prohibit hydroponics, even though he's the one that's very makel on all this. Because it, as far as in his time, something that grows in water is so removed from Kedarko, it's so removed from the normal way of Zriah that it never entered the discussion. It was so obvious that it was not Shayach. But if it is a certain derech of growing, and he says that it would change the mitzias, the chumra.
How do you explain the kalayim example?
So he says adrabba. That's why in the egg, because he thinks that in the water, because it goes to ibud. Today hydroponics doesn't go to ibud. The haraya, the very earlier source, but putting it in the egg together, there it does not go to ibud. It's stuck in the shell. So the very fact that the Reisha mentions that case where it is chayav and kilayim, the tomato seed and the barley seed, is the haraya that if you can in water arrange for a situation where it doesn't go to ibud, like on a stone or something, then maybe yeah.
But then we don't have a Gemara on it, just have to interpret it because the distinction should have been
that's what we were showing him to do for us. Yeah. but the Pesach Tzvi Frank does introduce another source. And because this might have ramifications to Trumas and Isis as well. The Torah says, "Aser to aser is called to us arachai oseminas sodeh." So, is hydroponics my sodeh or not? So, on the face of it, it looks like not. For those unfortunate who felt that it was the ibud and it was nothing to be done anyway, but now that it's quite common and it's kedarko, he thought that it would be you have to take trumas and maasros for. So here's one additional source that Professor St. Frank cites is Yerushalmi and Orla. It's in Perek Aleph, and it asks about the status of someone who plants in his house. He has dirt in the house, and the dirt is piled up high enough that the seeds can take and actually produce something. It must be a skylight for photosynthesis or something, whatever it is. But is it included in Sodeh?
Okay.
And some people who grow like tomatoes in their house or something.
Yeah, okay.
Is this like attached to the ground or is this,
there's a floor. Under the dirt is something like this. Now you see hot houses. I mean, you see it all over.
Yeah, sure.
You see it all, as the Rishami often does, it just leaves it unanswered.
But
the Bavli will say take good, but Rishami just moves on. You can't tell if they answer the question or not. Right? It leaves it unanswered. So perhaps sowing in a house is like Sodeh. It's not a question of the ground per se, the planet Earth per se. Right? But if this is this considered a normal way of planting? I don't know. The Rishami doesn't tell me that that's the nafka mina, but could be.
Yeah.
I mean, right. So according to Minchas Chinuch, kedarko was the key component, and no one in his time was kedarko planting in wood. Right? But Frank thought that the key component is the outcome. Is this going to produce a viable, edible object? Right. So he explains the heter in the Seches Kelayim. Because it goes li'ibud, right? Hydroponics is not li'ibud, right? The result is a viable crop. Adrava, like I said, the ratio proves from what goes on in the egg, right? The ratio of that.
But then, if he's concerned with the final product, why does he think we should resolve the RK?
Maybe in the house. Well, that's here you have it. It's the famous Chazon Ish now. Good segue right into the Chazon Ish. Because the Chazon Ish felt that if the tractor has a roof over it, then the tractor is like your house. Seriously. You've heard of it. You've seen the pictures.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So I'm not working the land. I'm working my house.
He's still in the bedroom back.
Yeah, beautiful. Someone with the credentials of the Chazon Ish, was a genius.
Well,
when he was machmir, it wasn't because he just gratuitously machmir. No.
If he had to be a chasam, I'm
terrible. Okay. So it's Zriya and water. So what Rav Pesach Tzvi Frank introduces is, you know, there's something called the atzitz she'enu naku and atzitz naku. So if it doesn't have a hole in it, so we say it's asam edrabanan, zera mishum atzitz. Because if a flower pot that has holes at the bottom is attached to the ground, it's mamish considered the ground.
Right.
You pick it up on Shabbos, you are oker dover migidula. So that's why Rav Pesach Tzvi Frank felt that hydroponics should at least be also midrash.
But are the plants at all connected?
No, not at all.
Why?
Not at all, because the outcome.
Oh, okay. When did he write in?
The 40s?
Oh, okay.
And very much in opposition to Sabbat Yosef, who's very famous for committing hydroponics.
Did he ever revise it?
Never, because I don't think it's
right. Yeah.
But as long as there's no soil and mixed in the water, then Rabbi Yosef felt this is not attached to the ground. It's not like an otzitz she'enu naku that needs a gzeira, you know, with your opponent. There's no reason to be gozer at all. The land is still resting, right? I'm not working the land. There's no soil.
No.
Chazon Ish b'davka, the year was Tavshin Yud Beis. Of Shin Yud Beis, I think 1952. The Chazon Ish went to Kibbutz Chavetz Chaim, which was a Haredi kibbutz, and oversaw hydroponic and this rooftop thing, and he used it as it's not Sadeh. In the end, it goes back to that original pasuk, Sadcha.
So did anybody say Frank,
Yeah, you know, today I
I was just in Israel a few times in this last Shemitah year. I didn't see hydroponics so much. I saw what I saw was Otzer Beis Din. I saw
no, it's complicated. You have to have knowledge to do it. But I just meant in terms of
Okay, so here are the Eitzes, and they'll do it for us for today. And what we're going to do next week, you know, to Shem, to close this out. The next week I have to have it at 2.
Yeah.
Because next week I teach Shem. So next week at 2, please. And we will do Shemitah's Ksachim next week.
Okay. Great.
All right. Perfect. It's really fascinating how you just start with the Gemara that has nothing to do with the Sefer Shabbos, it's in Bochum out of the
Ezra. No, that's right. No, that's right. I didn't know Shemitah was so complex. Mm-hmm. I mean, legally, in terms of analysis.
Okay, should I just close this? My recollection is that we have some story about visiting.
Oh no, they're everything's adjustable.